We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Before the break, we learned about the philosophy of the Super Bowl, and while people do watch it for the actual sporting event, many non-football fans love to watch the game for the commercials. The audience has been steadily growing every year of the 50 years the Super Bowl has been in existence, and in the last 20, the Super Bowl has achieved the largest television audience for any single television show. And, of course, that means advertisers are looking to find those audiences. TV networks stand to gain about $250 million in ad sales during the Super Bowl, but it's crucial that the commercials stand out in their own playing field. So what makes them memorable, and do they really work? To find out more, Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski spoke with Jim Pokrzywinski. He's an associate professor of strategic communication at Marquette, and he begins by explaining how these commercials reflect on the companies who invest in such expensive airtime.
Certainly they get a lot of exposure before the game as well as after, which does not happen in any other advertising context for the most part. So there's certainly that particular value. I think there's certain objectives that you may be more successful at achieving through a Super Bowl ad, and that is brand awareness, brand reminder, brand advantages or benefits over the competition. And then maybe a feel-good if you use humor or nostalgia or some of those kinds of advertising tactics to make the audience have that awe factor at the end that they connect with a particular brand.
Right, having that emotional tie, you know, and I'm sure ad companies are still seeking a, quote, magic formula for the composition of a automatically successful ad campaign. But with the Super Bowl, as you brought up before, it is truly unique that people extend the lives of these commercials well after. Because
yes,
especially in today's digital world, all of these, I'm sure, will be article subjects in themselves come after the game, no matter what kind of football game it is.
Yes. And the practice of releasing the commercial in advance, when I first saw this happening, maybe within the last 5 years, I think, that it's happened for just about every advertiser on the Super Bowl, that they would let you see the commercial in advance. I thought that was a bad idea at first. And to some degree, I still do, because it kind of takes away that anticipation and excitement of seeing the next commercial and what the commercial is going to say. So, so you have surprise associated with the ad you're about to see when you're watching it live. But now the practice seems to be to give you a teaser, maybe a 15-second snippet of the commercial, or not even the commercial itself, but literally a tease that, you should look for this ad with this celebrity in it, and that's about the extent of the information you gain. And so I think that really extends the conversation and the exposure that an advertiser gets from, paying the ungodly money that it costs to buy a single 30-second commercial, not to mention companies like Anheuser-Busch that'll be buying, seven, eight, nine spots during the game for a variety of different brands in their portfolio, or sort of more general corporate advertisement about Anheuser-Busch or Budweiser flagship brand.
Of course. And on that note, how much does your average 30 or 60 second commercial cost to buy from the network that's airing the Super Bowl? What is the average cost nowadays?
I think it's in the $5.5 million rate this year. Of course, there's always negotiation, so if Anheuser-Busch buys 8 or 10, they're not paying $5.5 million apiece, but they're probably paying at least $4 million or $3.5 million apiece. So I just saw a notice today that Donald Trump and Mike Bloomberg are both putting down the neighborhood of $20 million to buy a couple of spots during the Super Bowl. We'll see how many spots they get for $20 million. If that's four, if that's five, that was news item that came out today that I saw.
Is that a pretty recent development that politics is now thrown into the mix of, you know, technically anyone can buy a spot if they have the money, but we always associate it with physical products, something that's a call to action to say, hey, go buy something.
Yeah. Well, it's not unprecedented, especially if it's in an election year, that we've had candidates in 2016, 2012 that have bought spots. And given the contested nature that's likely to unfold with this election year, I'm not sure that I have ever seen any political advertising other than presidential candidates, governor's races, state senator races, or local races, unless they bought, spots just on the local station that's carrying the Super Bowl. But I don't think I've seen any political advertising from any individual candidates other than presidents over time. Just this is not the first year it's ever happened.
Just perhaps more noticeable this time around.
Yes, yes, and maybe more frequent too. I don't know that I've seen more than a spot or two by a candidate during the Super Bowl, and it looks like here we might be seeing maybe up to five by each of these candidates. So, interesting.
Yeah, and on the note of course, people recognition, the power of celebrity. Celebrity endorsements are often highly sought after for whatever product or company is making a commercial. So do you think that it's still as powerful today with all of the platforms we have with access to celebrities' lives or knowing what they're doing? Is the power of a celebrity in a commercial still what it was back in that first infamous Farrah Fawcett shaving cream ad of that Super Bowl?
There's probably a diminishing factor in the use of celebrities. But if you find the right celebrity and put that person in the right context, I think you still can have a very powerful message. It's also one that you really have to do your due diligence to make sure it's a person that, is going to be a positive for your brand and not a negative.
Yes.
So there's always some risk involved in that. But I think there's still plenty of examples every year of, good celebrity matches with the particular brands. I've seen this the preview for Doritos commercial with MC Hammer, and although he's been a entertainer that might be a little past his prime in terms of popularity, I think enough people will recognize him, and the context in which MC Hammer is used in this Cheetos commercial, getting the cheesy bits stuck to his fingers while he's sitting at the piano contemplating a new song, and gets the brainstorm of that he can't touch this, his popular song, because it's his hand is full of Cheetos cheese bits, is a good match for a celebrity endorsement.
Well, and sometimes puppies and Clydesdales are the magic formula.
Yes, yes. Those certainly, are very popular at generating awe factors, and so we'll see what Budweiser ultimately utilizes. They're kind of going with at least in one of their preview commercials, talking about diverse populations and diverse circumstances, and Budweiser is always a part of all of those, various situations, celebrations, evenings together, and everything in between. We'll see whether puppies and horses appear again this year or not.
Now, how far in advance are companies and ad agencies planning out their commercials for the Super Bowl?
Well, literally a month or two after each Super Bowl, the planning would begin, starting with what budget might be available to, what is the message that we want to deliver, and ultimately how we're going to deliver it. And it is easily a 10-month process, if not several days after the Super Bowl, once the results come in on what you may have done last year. If you were a repeat participant in Super Bowl advertising, that planning would start again real soon.
Now, what do you think are some of the most famous ads in Super Bowl history that are still talked about and viewed today as a prime example of how to effectively make a memorable commercial?
Well, it goes all the way back to Apple's introduction of their Mac computer. usually is at the top of most lists of very successful commercials, the ability to, in a very surprising, unexpected way, introduce an exciting new product to the marketplace. So that one has survived the test of time for, I think it was an ad in the 80s, maybe mid-80s. And so, you know, we're talking about 35, 40 years that that one still at the top of the list and most people's list of the greatest Super Bowl commercials of all time. Some of those Budweiser spots, particularly I think the one right after 9/11, which the Clydesdales bow to the New York skyline, have you know, been ones that touched people and lasted as a memory device for folks. And you know, after that, you know, isolated instances here and there. But those would be the two that come to my mind as being among the greatest of all time.
Right. And you mentioned that memorable factor, but at the end of the day, despite all the money paid to buy a slot to produce these commercials, are they effective? Does it influence people's spending habits? Are there numbers and data that show, look at these products advertised and look at what people are doing with them after?
Well, certainly that's harder to be able to track than you would like for it to happen, but indeed the success comes through in a variety of different ways, whether it ultimately led to a immediate sale or not is probably the one of the lesser objectives that a Super Bowl ad would have. It would be bringing brand awareness to the top of someone's mind, so when they are facing this decision, particularly when it has to do with non-durable product purchases that are made on a regular basis, like beverages, food, snack chips, etc., or what retail outlet to visit, that you're you've got that top of mind awareness from that exposure and the conversation that happened before and after about it. And then there's also the feel good within the company, its employees, that got their friends talking about a Super Bowl ad for the company that they work for, stockholders that see the company continuing to do well. So there's a variety of different audiences that will benefit from if a Super Bowl commercial is done right, performs well, gets positive ratings. Of course, the flip side is likely to occur as well. But in terms of moving the sales meter, there certainly is a lot of other things the company has to do over the course of the year in order to make sure that sales meter moves in the right direction as well. We've got Budweiser introducing their new seltzer product. So that's one that you might be able to evaluate more directly to, is there going to be a sales bump after that product is introduced? You got a car manufacturer that is talking about a self-parking benefit to it. And so these new product benefits and features or new products on the market would be easier ones to be able to evaluate what kind of sales bump a Super Bowl ad does than existing brands like Budweiser, Coke, McDonald's, and whoever else might participate.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see to see who wins the Super Bowl of commercials this coming weekend.
Yes.
All right, Jim. Well, thank you very much.
Well, nice talking to you, Audrey.
Jim Pokrzywinski is an associate professor of strategic communication at the Dietrich College of Communication at Marquette University. He joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski. And to look at some of those memorable commercials that we discussed in the interview, head over to wuwm.com.